Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bovakama Daf Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 18 lines from the bottom of daf ches. There appears the abbreviated tonu rabbonon at the end of the line. Before we begin the actual gemara, we glance at the side. We have a topic heading, which reads, Mi Shahoya Olav L'Shalem, someone who was obligated to pay three different payments, Nezek, payment for damages, Choyv L'Malve, a debt for a loan that he had taken out, Uksuba, and a marriage payment for having divorced his wife. She is entitled to receive her Uksuba, her financial guarantee that she received when she originally got married. Umochar Sodoisov, this gentleman sold his fields. Idis Beninus Viziburis. So he has no means right now of paying off the debts. The original idea was that he would pay with the land that he owned, but he sold off the land. And he sold off three qualities of land: Idis, Beninus, and Ziburis. Mao Seder Hagvio Min Alukuchos. What is the order of collection that is going to be made when these, we'll say these creditors, come to collect their payment, their respective payments? We take a look now at the Gemara text with the Tanaic source. Tanu Rabbanan. Mochar Li'echod oy l'shloisha b'nei adam ke'echod. He sold to one individual, or to three people at once. He sold to one person three qualities of property on one day, or three people, three purchasers, as if they were one. Kulon nichnasu tachas abaylim. All of them take the position, they replace the owner, so to speak. So that if, for Nezikin, a person pays with Edis quality land, with top quality land, he will, the one who purchased the Edis will pay the Nizak, the one who was damaged, he'll have to part with the land that he bought. The land that he bought had a lien on it to pay these preceding these earlier debts. The person who bought the Beinonis, the middle quality land, will pay the lender the money owed to him. And the Ksubas Isha will be paid by the one who bought the Ziburis quality land. As we go on in the source, situation number two, he didn't sell the lands at once to one person or to three people at once, but rather, bozeh achar zeh. He sold the lands one after the other. Exactly which lands he sold first and which second is not relevant right now, because the halacha says that you cannot collect from purchasers. Ein goyven mimishubodim b'mokam sheish b'nei churin. You cannot collect from purchasers as long as the original debtor has property, regardless of the quality, the type of property. But you cannot bother the purchasers until you finish dealing with the original person that owes the money. So that if the land was sold in succession, one after the other, so the halacha of this source says that the people to whom the money was owed They all go to the last one. Kulan goyvin min ha'achron. Why is that? Why do they all descend upon the last one to buy? Because the last one to buy, vis-a-vis the earlier purchasers, they will tell you that when we purchased our lands, the seller still had possession of lands that he had not yet sold. So that as long as the original seller, who is the one that owes these debts, has his own land that he didn't sell, people who come to collect their payment cannot seize upon purchasers, as we explained already. So that in a case where the lands were sold in a successive fashion, one after the other, the last one to buy is the one who carries upon him the greatest obligation to part with his land. Because, as we said, he was the last one to buy the B'nai Chorin, the lands still in the possession of the original party, the seller who owed these debts. Let us say that that last piece of land is not sufficient in value to cover all the debts. Ein loy, if that's not enough to pay off all the creditors, so then goyve mishelefonov. So then the money is still owed to will collect from the second to last purchaser. Ein loy, and if that's not sufficient, goyve mishelefnefonov. So he'll go and collect from the one who purchased even before. The Gemara continues. Mochron le'echod hechidomi. The expression in this source was that he sold them to one. He sold all properties to one person. What are the circumstances? Ilemo bevas achas. If the source is telling us that he sold all three properties in one shot, in one document, in one, all contained in one deed. Hashto l'shloisha. Mind you, in a case of three people, that was the little bays that you see here relates to the bays that you saw in the original source. Mind you, in a case of three people, di'iko lemeimar chad minayu kodim, where there's room to say that one bought a little before the other. One guy bought in the morning hours, the others bought in the afternoon hours. And yet, Amris kulon nifnesu tachas habaylim. All the purchasers there, the three, we'll say the three different purchasers who each one bought a different quality of land, they take over the position of the original seller. They enter his shoes, so to speak. So if in a case where there are three different purchasers, where there's room to think that one bought before the other and that the issue of a succession would play a role, and yet we say not so, and the reason for that is that they all bought on the same day. We didn't mention that point earlier, but all of the sales were on the same day. Rashi makes that point earlier. So if in a case of Lishloisha, we say that they enter the shoes of the original owner. Mochron li'echo mibaya. Do I need to tell you that that's the case where all three lands were sold to one person in one deed? That would be obvious. We don't need Tanaic sources to teach us the obvious. Elopshita. So we go to stage two and say, in the case of the land sold to one person, bozeh achar zeh. The suggestion is that they were sold in a successive fashion, one after the other, but to one person. The Gemara asks, now we start a marking system with a volcano shape, a trapezoid, that will appear in alternating directions. You'll notice on the side under our mivneh, we call this a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. And the narrow part facing upwards, shelos, represent questions. The inverted shape indicates tshuva's responses. So the Gemara feels that the case of Mochron Liachon, where he sold all three properties to one individual, was in the Bozeh Acharzeh fashion, in a successive fashion. And it's said in the source that he enters the shoes, he takes the place of the owner. The Gemara asks, Umay Shno Shloisha? What is different about the case of sold to three different people? In a case of Zeh Achar Zeh, where he sold the properties in a successive fashion, one after the other. This, by the way, was in the source, Roman numeral number 2. What is different there, the Cholchad V'chad Omar Leh, that each earlier buyer says to those who come to collect from them, don't come to us, Omar Leh, they will tell you, Hinachti Loch Mokoyim Ligvos Mimeno. When we bought our properties, we left properties in the possession of the original seller for you to collect from. Well, hi, Nami. So too over here. When one person bought the three properties in a successive fashion, Akolchad v'chad lemole, why can't the purchaser say, with regard to each, we'll say, earlier piece of property that he bought, let him, the purchaser, say to the one collecting their debt, Hinachti loch mokom livvos mimenu. When I bought this earlier purchase, I left the later properties in the possession of the original owner for you to collect from. So the question is, why do these debt collectors seize upon this one individual's three properties as if this individual, the purchaser, was like the owner? Couldn't the purchaser direct all of them to direct all the debt collectors to collect from the last purchased property? Just to repeat, let the purchaser who bought them in a successive fashion tell the collectors, if you want to collect from me, then you collect from the last piece of property that I bought, because up till that point, that last piece of property, when I was buying the earlier properties, that was, this last piece of property was still in the possession of the one that owed you the money. And since that was the B'nai Chorin, the land still in possession of the original owner who owes you guys the money, collect from my last purchased property. The Gemara says, you know why that's not going to happen here? Because Hocha B'mai Askinan, in the source featured above, it's Kegon Shalokach Idis Bachrona. V'chein Omer Rav Sheshes Kegon Shalokach Idis Bachrona. The last parcel of land that he bought, the last property that he bought, was the Idis, the top quality land. So it's not in his interest to direct the creditors to collect from that most desirable type of land. Therefore, what does the source rule? The source says that the purchaser simply steps into the shoes of the original fellow, and they're not going to collect, they're not going to all collect from the last parcel of land, which happens to be Edis. The Gemara asks, well, Ihachi Lesu Kulu Valigvu Meidis, if the last parcel of land to be purchased was in fact the Idis, why don't they all collect from that? Now, before we go further in the Gemara, let us point out our marking scheme. We have a bracketed section of Gemara on the side, a starred note, Tam Lasograyim. The reason for these brackets, Einom Elolaharos. Let me read that note more accurately. Einom Ladilug. They are not for skipping purposes. Elolaharos de Ad Kan Ikur HaTshuva. Rather, to show that where the Gemara says Kigon Shalokach Idis Bachrona, that's the final answer. That with that we explain the source. With that we explain why, if he sold to one person properties in a successive fashion, one after the other, do we say that the people trying to collect the debt collect from him as if he were the original owner? Within the bracketed section, the Gemara will try to rebuff or refute this answer, but without success. So now that the Gemara structure is hopefully a little clearer, we have our final answer as to explaining the source why, if it was in a case of Mochron Le'echod, do we say that Kulon Nichnesu Tachas Habaylim, that he, the purchaser, takes over the position of the original owner? And we said because it's in his interest not to have them all collect from the Idis, which is the land that he bought at the end. The Gemara asks, well, if Idis was in fact the land that he bought at the end, we're going to reread the question we read earlier in the brackets. Ihachi leisu kulu v'ligvu mi'idis. Why is it that they don't all in fact descend upon the Idis? As far as the earlier properties that he bought, the Beinonis and the Zeros that he bought, when he bought them, the Idis was still in the possession of the original fellow that owes the debt. So why do we say that he takes over the position as if he were the original owner when the last property was the Idis? Let them collect from the Idis. The Gemara answers, Mishum di Omar Lahu, the purchaser can tell these three collectors, Ishaskisu v'shaklisu t'kedinaychu shaklisu. If you remain quiet and collect according to what the halacha entitles you to collect, including the nizak, to collect from the idis, then that's fine. I'll be cooperative. V'lo, if you're going to all insist on collecting the last piece of property, which you might say is if you're all going to insist on going by letter of the law, since the last property purchase is the most prone to paying off the debts, well, I have news for you. Mahadarna Shtora de Ziburis Lamore, I will return the title of the poorest quality land, the Ziburis quality land, to the original owner, the fellow that owes you the money. Vishaklisu kulchu miziburus, and the result of that will be you'll all get your payment from the ziburus. So it's not worth your while trying to all descend upon the edis that I bought at the end. So the purchaser has this, we'll say, this strength, this upper hand against the creditors. Well, the Gemara asks, Hachi, if that's the case, Benezikin Nami Neimo Hachi, why doesn't the purchaser say to the Nizokin, the people that were damaged, that are coming to get their collection, why doesn't this purchaser say the same thing, say something, we'll say similar? We look at Rashi at the top. Why doesn't the purchaser say as follows? If you'll agree to take middle quality land, then take it. But which middle quality is not the quality that a victim of damage is expecting to get, but here we have this, we're not dealing with the damager himself, we're dealing with the person that bought from the offender. So let the purchaser say, listen, Mr. Victim, if you want to take from me Beinonis, then fine. The Elo, and if you don't accept my offer of Beinonis, Madarna Shtora de Ziburis Lemore, Vetishko Ziburis Baal Korchach. And I'll return the title of deed of the Ziburis to the original owner, to the one that damaged you. And being that that's the only land that he has still in his possession, you'll end up getting paid from Tiburus. Vamai Yohiv Le Idis. Why? According to the Gemara's response, where the fellow says each one will get according kedinaichu, according to that which you deserve, meaning the victim of damage will get idis. Why should that be? From the fact that we don't see the purchaser saying that, namely deflecting the victim of damage from the Edis, from the fact that that's not happening, it must be that we have to say that the following are the circumstances. The original owner, who happened to be the damager, who borrowed money, who owed money to pay a woman he divorced, he died. And since he died leaving no property, the orphans that are his heirs, so they might have inherited his set of china, his stamp collection, his cash, they are not obligated to pay up their father's debts. The portables inherited by orphans are not bound. There's no lien upon portables to pay off the debts. And even if this purchaser were to return to them, the orphans, the heirs, land, their status would be no different than orphans in general that bought land after their father died, and that kind of land is not there's no lien upon it to pay off their father's debts. So let's go back to our Gemara. So from the fact that the purchaser is not deflecting the Nizikin, the Nizokin, the damage victims, Elohocha b'mayaskinon, rather the case is where the seller died, biyasmi, and the seller is dealing with not the, or I should say the threat that he's making is not to the a threat to return to the original seller because he's dead, but rather biyasmi delabene pironinu. They are the orphans, the heirs, and the heirs are not ones obligated. In the case that their father left no land, they are not obligated to pay off the debts. Veshibuda delay ole didei ramya. The shibud, the lien that these creditors, these debt collectors have, is upon the land itself. Hilkoch leko lemeimar hochi. Therefore, there's no basis for the buyer to threaten, I will return the shtoros. Now, if that's the case, so then why is it if the last parcel of land that he bought was Idis, why is it then that all these creditors don't descend upon the Idis? Originally he thought because the purchaser had the upper hand, he could threaten them with the return of the deed of the Ziburis. But that won't work over here, and we know that that's not going to work because you're dealing with the Yisaimim, the heirs of the original seller. And the heirs of the original seller are not obligated under these circumstances to pay off their father's debts because their father left no land before his death. So the question then is, why in the original source does it teach us that the purchaser takes over the position of the original seller, and we don't say that they all collect from the idis that he bought at the end? The Gemara answers, Elo mishum di omar lehu, the purchaser says to these creditors, Taimo mai omu rabbonan. Why is it that the rabbonan said the rule ein ifroin min chosim shibode b'mokom sheish b'neicherin, that one is not allowed to collect from purchasers as long as there is land still in the possession of the original debtor? Mishum takata didi. It's a takona. It's a ruling for my benefit. Me as a purchaser, I'm protected by this rabbinic ruling that collections are not to be made from purchasers as long as the original owner has free land, meaning B'nai Chorin is free land. I mean land that's still in his original possession. Well, there is this takona, which, by the way, governs the idea of the last purchased land being most prone to collection. Because that last purchased land was the B'nai Chorin up till the point of purchase. All the other lands were previously purchased. So this ruling is for my benefit, says the purchaser. But in this case it backfires. In this case the takona, this ruling, doesn't work for my, isn't good for me. Because in this particular case the last purchased land was the Idis, was top quality land. True, that was the B'nai Chorin up till the point of purchase, the previous lands being Mishubodim, already purchased. But in this case, since the last purchased land was top quality land, it's not to my benefit that this is the one seized upon. And where do we know that people refuse takonas from refuse rulings to apply to them? Kidarava, based on Rava's teaching, Diyama Rava, Koloimer, Ef Shiba Takanis Lachamim Kedon Zuz Shaymin Lo. Anyone who says that the Takonas Lachamim, the rabbinic ruling made for my benefit, I don't want. And he says Kigonzu like this one, but this is not referring to our case, it's referring to something else. We listen to the party. In other words, people for whom there are, we'll say, rabbinic protection devices, but for some reason the protection device in this case is not to their benefit, they can disavow, they can remove themselves from that particular rabbinic protection. My Kigonzu, the Gemara is curious. What is Rava referring to when he says a person who can declare efshi b'takonas chachamim like this one? What's the case of the takonas chachamim that a person can disavow? Kida Rav Huna, based on Rav Huna's teaching, Diyama Rav Huna, Yichola Isha Shetoymer Labala, a woman can say to her husband, Eini Nizonis, I disavow receiving from you food support, which ordinarily a woman is entitled to by rabbinic entitlement, that her husband supports her in exchange for her giving him her income. So she can say, and for some women this is quite relevant, I prefer to forfeit your support, and I am not going to give you my income. The Eini Oisa, I'm not literally speaking, I'm not going to work. But it imagine a woman whose food maintenance is something to the tune of $20 a day, that she lives on $20 a day worth of food. Her daily income is $5,000 a day. So a woman can very reasonably say, according to Rav Huna, even though the rabbis made a ruling that husbands are obligated to support their wives, they made that ruling making an assumption or the general rule of thumb was that women's income isn't going to be sufficient to cover their basic daily food needs. So to protect women, to protect the welfare of women, the rabbis said that men must support their wives, but in exchange they'll get their wives, let's say, meager income. But in the total picture, it's for the woman's benefit to be supported by their husbands. However, if you have an unusual case, a case I gave an example of a woman whose daily support would be $20 a day, but her income was $5,000 a day, a woman like that would forfeit the takona, the enactment that was made for her benefit, because in her case, it's not to her benefit. Similarly, a person who bought different qualities of land in a successive fashion, and the last parcel that he purchased by letter of the law, or should I say by rabbinic enactment, that last parcel was the most susceptible to vis-a-vis collection, most prone to be collected, because it was the last b'nei chorin, it was the last parcel in the possession of the original debtor. However, if that last parcel purchased happened to be top quality land, so it's not in the interest of the purchaser to benefit from the rabbinic enactment that said therefore he forfeits that rabbinic enactment, and thereby redirecting these three different creditors, that is, to collect from that which they have coming to them, the Nezikin from the Idis, the Balchov Beninus, and the Ksubasisha from the Ziburis. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have some markings and a structural note on the side of the Gemara. The notes say the topic and Mivneh, structural note. The triangle highlights Lokeach Rishon Shemochar Lelokeach Sheni Mishubadim. There was an original purchaser, and he, in turn, he had bought land upon which there was a lien, and he, in turn, sold to a second purchaser. The diamond will be used to highlight Shnei Dugmois, two examples, Be'inyin Halokeach Mishubadim, someone who bought lands upon which there was a lien, the Lokach Ho'idis Bo'achrona, and the last purchase, the final land that he bought was the Idis quality land, the Chozer Halokeach Umochar Lelokeach Sheni, and then that fellow who bought from the original debtor, he then turned around and sold to a subsequent purchaser. Aleph, we'll see that we have diamonds, Aleph and Beis. Aleph, Mochar, Beninus, Viziburis, Vishir, Ha'idis, Latzmo. What did the first purchaser sell to the second purchaser? Beninus and Ziburis quality lands while maintaining the top quality for himself. And case Beis, he sold the Idis, Vishir, Beninus, Viziburis, Latzmo, and he kept for himself the Beninus and Ziburis. Later, you'll see the double underline used to highlight the names Abaye and Rava. Let's continue in the Gemara. There's another marking that, when we get to it, we'll highlight its role. Pshita. We start with the first triangle, Pshita. The following is obvious. In other words, there need not be any discussion over it. Over what case? Mochar Lokeach Beninus Viziburis Vashir Idis Lefonov. The fellow that we had been discussing in the previous Gemara, the fellow who bought three qualities of land, but the last quality, the last parcel that he bought was Idis. What did he do? He sold Beninus and Ziburis and kept the Idis for himself. That's let's read that again. Mochar Loikeach, the purchaser that we featured before. He sold Beninus Viziburis, Vishir Idis Lefonov, and maintained the Idis for himself. He kept that. He didn't sell that. Lesu Kulu Veligvu Miidis. They will all collect from the Idis. Deho Achronahi. It is the last, it was the last land in the possession of the original debtor. Beninus Viziburis Lesnuhu Gabei Demotzi Lemei Marlahu. The Beninus and Ziburis are no longer by him, that he should be able to say Gavu mibeninis viziburis, the lo nichali batakanta de rabbanan. They're no longer by him, by this original purchaser, for him to redirect the creditors to the beninis and ziburis. They're right now in the possession of a second purchaser. Let us re-emphasize regarding this case, the Idis was the last parcel that the first purchaser bought from the original fellow that owed all of these debts. That Idis was the most prone to be collected from. And now that he's sold the Beinonis and Ziburas, leaving the Idis in his own possession, that's it. He's got to part with that in favor of the creditors. The fellow to whom the damage debt was owed, the woman, the ksubo that is, owed to the woman, and the loan. Aval. We continue with an alternative case. Mohar Idis. This fellow who, the first purchaser who bought the three qualities of land and bought the Idis at the end, he then sold that to a second purchaser, Vishir Beninus Viziburus, and kept in his own possession the Beninus and Ziburus, which were the land qualities that were less prone to be collected from, being that they were purchased earlier from the original debtor. My, what is going to be the halacha over here? Let's glance at Rashi. A few lines down from here, Rashi says, "My, mi azli kulu boser lokeach sheni, can all these debt collectors descend upon the second purchaser who bought the idis? Sherei hu lokeach shibudayo. After all, he bought the land upon which they had their lien. Ume lokeach rishon lo gavu, and to go to the first purchaser, they cannot go to collect from him. The Omar." He will say, Bo'ino batakanta de rabbanan, I want to benefit from the rabbinic ruling. The idis davoi baschurin b'shtei lukuchos rishona shalochemi. The idis, which was the baschurin, which was the land most prone to collect from, had remained the baschurin when I made the first two purchases. And that's the land that you have your lien on. So leave me alone. So, once again, the first purchaser sold off his idis to a second purchaser. What is the din? Sovar Abaye Lameymar, Osukulu Gavumi Idis. Abaye thought to say, like we just saw in the Rashi, where he can fend them off by saying, oh, you have your lien upon the idis, which that happened now to be transferred to a second purchaser, go to him to collect your debts. Omar Le Rava. Notice we have a long marking. This is Rava's response and rejection of Abaye's ruling, or Abaye's, we'll say, thinking. And we're going to run into a new marking shortly. So on the side of the Gemara, the house form highlights the terms Lokeach Rishon and Sheni. The original purchaser, first purchaser, and then second purchaser. The Gemara, Amar Le Rava, Ma Mocha Rishon Lasheni. The first purchaser, what did he sell? And when we ask this question, or when we speak about what did he sell, we're not talking about physically. It's obviously what he sold physically. But in addition to the physical sale, what else was included? What was part of the understanding of the sale? Ma mocha rishon lasheni. What did the first purchaser transfer to the second purchaser? In addition to the lands, and in this case he sold the idis, called zchus shetova liyodai. He was also selling all benefits that he had. The kavan. Now let's think about that. The first purchaser, with regard to their power of collecting from the idis, we saw before already that power was limited. That they could, that it was not to his benefit to have them collect from the last the last parcel of land, if it was Edis. And he was able to say thusly by virtue of the discussion we had earlier about takonis de rabbona that are designed for someone's benefit. If they don't benefit you, you can forego it. So when the first purchaser sold the idis, part of the idis purchase on the when the second buyer bought it, he was buying all the benefits, the rights, the zchuyos that the first purchaser had in that idis. V'kevon de'ilu asu gabi lokeach rishon. Had they come to the original purchaser who bought the three qualities of land, the idis at the end, motzi agvi lumi benis v'zuburis, that first purchaser was able to redirect them, fend them off from the idis, and collect from the beninus and ziburis. Even though when he bought the Benis and the Ziburis, the Idis was still in the possession of the original owner who owed all the, of these monies, and it is true that you don't collect from purchasers as long as there was free land available in the possession of the original owner. Nevertheless, Motzi Omerle, the Lokeach, could say, Lo Nicholi Bahaitakanta, this ruling that's made for the benefit of purchasers is not beneficial to me because I bought Idis at the end. Lokeach Sheni Nami, Motzi Omerle, the second purchaser, can say the same thing. Govi Beninus Viziburis, I want you guys to go collect from the first purchaser who still has the Beinah Ziburis in his possession, the Chizovin Lokeach Sheni, when the second purchaser buys, and in this case he bought the Idis, Adaito de Cholzchusu de Havilei L'Rishon Begavo Zovin. He bought it with the understanding that whatever benefits, whatever powers the first purchaser had with regard to this land, I take over those benefits. I gain from that as well. And just like the first purchaser was able to fend them off from the Idis, I too fend you off from the Idis that I bought. The we mentioned already earlier the triangles, the case of a first purchaser then selling to a second purchaser. And we're dealing once again with lands sold upon which there was an original, there was a lien upon them. Omar Rava, Ruvain Shemochar Loi Shemochar Kol Sadoisov Lishimoin. Ruvain, these are arbitrary names that you find throughout the Talmud when they want to use general examples. So Ruvain sold land, all of his land, Kol Sadoisov Lishimoin. Volach Shimon Umochar Soda Achas Lelevi. And then Shimon sold one parcel of land to Levi. Ubal Balchov de Ruvain. Ruvain's creditor came, and it's I guess it's obvious, but we'll say it anyway. The creditor had a had extended a loan to Ruvain long before these land sales were conducted, long before Ruvain sold the land. So the Balchov, the one to whom Ruvain owed money, had a lien upon Ruvain's properties. In the meantime, Ruvain, after being indebted to the lender, he sold all his properties to Shimon. Shimon then sold one of the parcels to Levi. Ubal Bachov Ruvain, Ruvain's creditor comes along. Now, Ruvain doesn't have any properties at this point, because we mentioned he sold off all his properties to Shimon. So the Bachov of Ruvain comes, Rotsa Mizeh Goyve, he can collect from Shimon, he can collect from Levi, he can collect from either one. Now this, you'll see, is qualified. And we're going to be using this double underline marking to highlight the respective qualifications as we go on in the Gemara. V'lo amoron ela, this point that the Balchov of Reuven, the creditor of Reuven can go to Levi, that's a possibility. Ela Zavan Beninus, that Levi bought Beninus. Now, Beninus is the quality of land that a Baal Chov, that a lender of money, has his eyes upon, that is fit for him. Avol Zavan Yidis Viziburis Loi. If Levi deliberately bought the Yidis and Ziburis, we don't say that the Baal Chov Ruvain can go collect from Levi the Yidis or Ziburis. The Yomar Levi can say to the Baal Chov, leave me alone. It was for this reason that I was diligent. Daiki was careful. I was precise in purchasing Ibis and Ziburis, Aradoloch, Chaziloch, land qualities that are not fit for you, not destined for you. Viafilu. Let me make no assumptions. We've mentioned already, as numerous times in the past, that different kinds of creditors have different kinds of land qualities that are fit for them. The victim of damage, Idis, lenders, Beninus, and Ksubasisha from Ziburis. So here we're focusing on a lender of money. The lender of money doesn't have a call upon the Idis and Ziburis qualities of land. Therefore, Levi, if he would have bought specifically Idis and Ziburis, leaving the Beninus in the possession of Shimon, the Baal Chov of Reuven would have no dealings with Levi. The Afilu Zovan Beninus Nami no Lo Amoron. And even in the event that Levi bought Beninus, we don't say that the Baal Chov of Reuven can collect from Levi Elo de lo Shir Beninus de Kavosei. It's only in a case where Levi did not leave any Beninus in Shimon's possession. The Lo Motzi Omerle, Hinachti Loch Mokum Ligvois, Hinachti Loch Mokum Ligabi Shimon. Whereby, in a case like that, he wouldn't be able to say, I left a source of collection, i.e., Beninus, by Shimon. Avol Shir Beninus, De Kavosei, Gabi Shimon. If Levi, who bought Beninus, but he left Beninus to cover, say, similar Beninus by Shimon. He didn't buy out all of Shimon's stock of Beninus, who had bought, of course, from Reuven. Lo Gavi Mine, the Baal Chov of Reuven cannot collect from Levi. The Motzi Amar Levi can say, Hinachti Loch Mokum Ligvos Mimeno, I left room for you to collect. I left Beninus for you to collect from him. In other words, the closer you are to the original debtor, the more lien there is upon you. So that Levi, being a latter purchaser, the strength of the lien is found greater upon earlier purchasers. Before we continue, we have a new marking, a crown shape, and on the side of the Gemara we have a Nosei / Mivneh heading. Shnei Halochas Shel Abaye. Two teachings, two rulings of Abai concerning sale of fields. Bachrayas bliachrayas. One case involves the sale of land with a guarantee. The land was sold to a purchaser receiving a guarantee. If something goes wrong, he'll have a means of recourse. And a case of bliachrayas, without a guarantee. Omar Abaye, we turn to the Gemara. Reuven Shemochar, Soda LeShimon, Ba'achrayas. Reuven sold a parcel of land to Shimon with a guarantee. V'yosu Baal Chov de Reuven, V'toraf Mishimon. And Reuven's creditor came to collect the land from Shimon. Dinohu, the Ozil Reuven, U'mishtoi Dino Bahadei. It is within halachic acceptability. Dino means it's according to letter of the law that Reuven can intercede on behalf of Shimon. If, let us say, Reuven has a claim, claims that he already paid off his debts, Reuven can enter the picture, intercede and argue in defense of Shimon, enabling the attempt of Shimon to rebuff the Baal Chov. The lo motzi yomale, and the creditor cannot say to Reuven, lav baal dvorim didiat, you're not my litigant regarding this land. It's not in your domain anymore. You sold it to Shimon, and therefore I'm dealing with him, and you're a nobody. You're irrelevant to the case. Why is it that the Baal Chov cannot say to Reuven that you're irrelevant? The Amale, Reuven can say back to the Baal Chov, Imafkis mine, if you're successful in extracting the land from Shimon, Olai Hodar, he's going to come to me because he bought it from me with a guarantee. So I'm very much a part of this case. But we didn't say earlier, but maybe we were just relying on everyone's intuition, that people that are outsiders to cases have no real right or power to intercede on cases that they don't have any direct connection to. But Reuven is demonstrating to us how even though he sold off the land that would be the source of collection, and the collection isn't being made immediately from Reuven, being that the land was sold to Shimon, nevertheless, Reuven is still part of the picture. And hence, the Baal Chov's attempt to say, Lav Baal Dvorim Didiat, you are not my adversary, you're not my source of confrontation. That's not so. Reuven is very much a part of the picture. Ve'ikot Yamri, another approach, another version of this is Afilu Shelo Bakrayas Nami. Even if Reuven sold the land to Shimon without a guarantee, that would mean that if Shimon in fact loses the land, Shimon isn't going to have any recourse to seek compensation from Reuven. Even so, Reuven is still part of the picture. Diomarle, Reuven can say to the creditor, to his creditor, he can say, Lo nicholi detevid Shimon taruma salai. It's not to my liking that Shimon shat tarumas, ill feelings toward me. True, Shimon didn't buy it with a guarantee, but nevertheless, Shimon bought land from this fellow Reuven. Losing the land because of Reuven's creditor is going to lead simply to ill feelings between him, Shimon, and Reuven. And Reuven doesn't want that to happen, so it's Reuven still has a, we'll say, a vested interest in this case. And if he has arguments that he can say to benefit Shimon, for example, I already paid you off, leave Shimon alone, he can say it. He can advance his arguments. The Rashi, just to refine what he would say, three lines before they get wide, at the end, bottom of the page, Rashi says, V'komishtoi dina ba'adei de'bal chov, that is, Reuven can intercede on behalf of Shimon against the creditor, Lesalko me'oisekarko bedvorim. He can remove him from his claim on the land with the following words: Im yeshlo leRuven shum tviya al balchovo lomar. If Reuven has some claim against the balchov, saying, Poratich, I paid you already. The kaimelom sechus shvus, the avagav the noked shtora. Even though someone might be in possession of a shtar, of a contract or a document indicating that he, the possessor of the shtar, loaned money and is now collecting. Yomalei, if the borrower says, Ishtabali delo poratich, I want you to swear that I didn't pay you. Boy, ishtabuye. He, the creditor, will have to swear. So we see that people who borrowed money can put the creditor to a test, so to speak. And in that spirit, Reuven can intercede on behalf of Shimon. According to the Aleph Lashon, if Shimon had bought with a guarantee, thereby Reuven very much is part of the case in the event that Shimon would lose the property. And even according to the second version, where Reuven is not at a financial risk if Shimon were to lose the property, but there is a social risk involved that Shimon will have ill feelings toward Reuven. V'omar Abaye. And once again, another halacha of Abaye regarding the sale of fields upon which there are earlier claims by creditors. V'omar Rub Abaye, Reuven Shemochar, Sada L'Shimon, Shelo Bachrayas. Shimon bought land without a guarantee. And we continue at the top of Daf Tes. V'yotza Ole Arsikin. And Asikin are murmurings, challenges to ownership. People, outsiders, claiming it's mine. Now, Asikin is not, it's not as if they have, they're coming with solid testimony and contracts, but there are claimers out there. They're claiming that it's the land that you bought is ours. Prior to Shimon, the purchaser, taking possession of the land, hichsik is an expression that we'll focus on in a couple of minutes, but until the point of chazaka, we'll say taking hold of it, he can back out. But from the point that Shimon is machzik in the land, he takes possession of the land, he can't back out. My taimo, why not? D'yomar le, Reuven, who sold the land, and once again, we're emphasizing in this instance, he sold it without a guarantee. So Reuven, the seller, can say, chaisa de katri, sabris v'kablis. A chaisa is a chaisa de katri, is a sack, a bag, a knotted bag full of air, is what you bought. You might say, you bought the Brooklyn Bridge. So, tough luck. Me'emas havoi chazoka. From what point do we say a chazoka is achieved? Mechidayish amitzore. From the point that the purchaser, here literally means he tramples along the borders. He walks around the borders of the land that he bought. Fedafka shelo b'achrayas. This ruling is only in a case where his purchase was one without a guarantee. Bought land without a guarantee. See, he bought a, that's why we said before, Reuven can say, sorry, you bought a bag full of hot air. Avol b'achrayas lo. But if the purchase was with a guarantee, so then Reuven, the seller, wouldn't be able to push off Shimon so easily. After all, Shimon bought it with a guarantee. So that even after he made a chazaka, he says, "Look, you know, I have a guarantee on this. Give me back my money. You take back the land. I don't want to maintain land against which there are over and there are challengers." The Ika Diamri. Now another version. Afilu Bachrayas Nami. Even if Shimon bought the land from Reuven with a guarantee, he cannot back out. Diomar Le. Of course, we're talking about a case of not being able to back out after he took possession of it. We saw originally on the top line, if it was before taking possession of it, then back out is a possibility. But here, we're dealing with a case that he bought the land with a guarantee and made a chazok on the land. He can't back out. The Omar Le, Reuven can say to Shimon, who bought land concerning which there are these outside challengers. Reuven can say, "What, you want to back out? Sorry, I'm not giving you back your money. You want to reverse the deal? Well, achvi tirpoch v'ashalim loch. You show me the tirpoch. What's tirpoch? That is a document that the court writes, enabling those orin, those challengers to actualize their claim and reclaim the land, thereby Shimon losing the land. Until that point, until the point that Shimon actually loses the land, he's still the possessor of the land. So that Reuven says, until you can show me that the court entitled the Urin, the challengers, to collect from you, only then will I compensate you for the loss of the land. You notice we have a slash mark indicating that that which follows is not by any means a continuation of this, and also a diamond and an indication this is number 5, a continuation from Daf Zayin Omid Beis. In our previous shiur, we emphasized that the resolution of the contradiction between Meitav and Kesef Yoshiv, and we said L'Rabbi Sisasubin, there were 5 resolutions. On the one hand, the Torah says that the damager pays in terms of Meitav. And the other hand, the Torah says he can pay even in terms of bran, subin, low-quality stuff. We had 4 attempts to resolve that. And here we have number 5. If you're wondering why is number 5 so disjointed from the first 4, so Rashi addresses that particular issue. For our purposes, let it be sufficient for just simply to note that Rav Huna's role is to deal with that. And on the side, we have a Nosei topic heading. Hemshich mi Dav Zayin Rebeis. This is simply a continuation from what we saw on Dav Zayin Rebeis. Rav Huna Nosein Oy Tshuva Liyashif Apsukim Meitav versus Kesef Yoshif, which was L'Rabbis Esasubin. Thivi Gemara. Rav Huna Omar. Oy Kesef, Oy Meitav. What the Torah is saying is that the damager pays either in cash or in top quality property, Idis quality property. What we are saying is that even if someone has top quality property, if he wants to pay in cash, he can do so. Eisvei Rav Nachman le Rav Huna. Rav Nachman challenges Rav Huna. The source says, Yoshev, quoting the Pasuk, L'Rabbis Shove Kesef, Afilu Subin. The word Yoshev, Kesef Yoshev, the Pasuk says, is including not just cash, but cash equivalent, even bran. And you, Rav Huna, are saying, well, it's either cash or top quality land. What about the Tanaic source that says even Subin can be used as a means of restitution? The Gemara answers, Hocha b'mayaskinon b'deles lei. This source is talking about a fellow that doesn't have cash nor fields. Well, e deles lei pshita. If he has neither cash nor fields, it's obvious to pay whatever you do have. And if you have subin, if you have bran, so pay your debt off with the bran. Is it so? Do I need a Tanaic source to tell me something that's obvious? Mahu detema. I would have thought without this source. Amrinon lei. We tell the mazik, the damager, who doesn't have in this case land nor cash. We tell the mazik, zil torach zovin ve'aisi lei kesef. You have to go and sell off your bran, and in exchange get cash from the sale. And with the cash that you got from the sales, pay off the victim. Komash Molon, the source tells us, not so. It's sufficient for the mazik to offer the brand directly to the victim. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.